Before we get started on Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine, we'd like to tell you about the Miracle Moments Luncheon to benefit Easter Seals UCP Port Health. Earfluence, which produces this podcast, is a proud sponsor, and we'd like you to join us May 1st, 2024 at 11:30 Eastern Time at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary. This event helps raise funds and awareness for the life-changing direct services provided to more than 40,000 children, adults, and families living with disabilities, mental health, and substance challenges so they can live their best lives. We'll put more information on Easter Seals and the luncheon in the show notes, but again, that's Wednesday, May 1st at 11:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary, and we hope to see you there.
Attention, bourbon lovers. Are you ready for a taste sensation like no other? Old Raleigh Distillery, recently awarded Best Micro Distillery in the U.S., invites you to experience the art of whiskey blending firsthand. Located just east of Raleigh in downtown Zebulon, the distillery specializes in premium, micro-batch bourbon and limited-release whiskeys. Visit the tasting room Tuesday through Sunday to savor a wide variety of whiskeys, specialty cocktails, wine, and beer. And don't miss a chance to peek behind the curtain with a tour of the blending operation every Saturday and Sunday at 1 and 2 p.m. For more information and to plan your visit, visit oldraleighdistillery.com. Follow on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Old Raleigh Distillery for exclusive updates and behind-the-scenes content. Old Raleigh Distillery, where every sip tells a story. But he'd run up and down the court, whether he got the rebound, whether he missed the shot or made it, and he made it most of the time, smiling. You just don't see that as often.
Couldn't be happier.
Right.
I had friends that I grew up with that would post on Facebook or Instagram and say things like, well, so I'm a Carolina grad, but I took one class at NC State. Does that count? Am I an alumni?
You're listening to Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I'm your host, Gina Stevens. You may know Raleigh Magazine, but what you may not know is how we get our stories. It's all inside baseball. You'd be surprised what people will tell us. Our MO is telling stories no one else is telling. So this podcast is where you get the inside access to stories you won't read anywhere else. So let's dive into some of Raleigh Magazine's biggest stories. We're loving the Carolina Hurricanes are back in the playoffs, but there's no doubt this city is still basking in the afterglow of NC State's women's and men's magical miracle run to the Final Four. Sure, winning would have been cool, but I don't think the adoration and fanaticism could have gotten any bigger. And let's face it, a star was born on the road to Phoenix. DJ Burns, the charismatic big man, charmed America. With me today to talk about the pack, DJ, and her exclusive behind the scenes with DJ is editor-in-chief and proud Wolfpack alum, aka the biggest State fan I know, Melissa Housem.
I was born for this podcast.
You were born for this podcast.
This is my moment. Obviously a huge State fan if you guys know anything about us or this podcast or the magazine. And alumni and all of that. But this has really been so much bigger than just like, you know, the excitement of being a State fan and winning games. Raleigh was just electric. And to get to see that, it was so, I don't know, it inspired so much awe and it was such a feel-good feeling. Like, I think I cried happy tears so many times. You know, like the kind you cry when you're watching a commercial and you just get misty. Like, it was just that sort of like feel-good energy.
You know, the other thing I thought was cool about it is that, I mean, let's face it, we live in the Tobacco Road basketball. And so there's a lot of hatred. You have your team. You're either Duke, you're either UNC or you're NC State. You have your place. And most of the time, there's no crossover. Carolina doesn't pull for State and Duke doesn't pull for State or vice versa. Most of the time. There's some rare, normal people exceptions out there. But most of us are rabid fans for our team. And so we don't stray.
Yeah.
And what you saw was this just absolute triangle-wide love and people cheering for State that wouldn't normally cheer for them.
We talked about that so much in the office, me and you. Like, that was one of my favorite things. In the community, like in my family, even in this room, Cece's a huge Carolina fan. We just talked about how her and her family were big DJ fans and kind of pulling for us. And I had some friends, like first starters at the Duke State games, that were lifelong Duke fans. And when Duke, in the NCAA tournament, not the ACC tournament, when Duke lost, they posted this picture and it said, "We couldn't be prouder of the pack." And you just kind of saw that play out. Chills. And like every time, like I have in my family, like Duke alumni, Carolina alumni, and sure they love me, but like it was bigger than that. Like they were really pulling for this team. And I think one of the craziest things I heard, like on a personal level, is I have an editor friend in Colorado that we've never even really talked about sports. And a week ago when he saw that we met DJ, he reached out to me and said that they were so enamored by DJ and so enamored by NC State that they were listening to the State Duke game in the NCAA tournament on the radio on the way to camp because they just like couldn't not know. So I think he just sort of like ignited the nation, the team, and DJ did. And it was so cool to see the community rally behind State.
Well, I mean, I watch games all season. We have a friend, John Nunley, and his son Alex is on the team, and we have Alex T-shirts. And you know, Alex is not a starter, but it doesn't matter. He, you know, he's on the team. And but I didn't realize, and I went back and did some reading about DJ. I didn't pay much attention until you saw him light up on. I mean, it started when, obviously it started when they started winning and they won those games and they're on this roll. But he'd run up and down the court, whether he got the rebound, whether he missed the shot or made it, and he made it most of the time, smiling. You just don't see that as often. That much, you know, obvious emotion, unless it's just, you know, focus.
So much was made of that because people are always, you know, and we're going to talk about this on our next podcast as well, but I feel like there's a focus on the negative a lot on social media. And so when DJ was playing against Zach Edey from Purdue, there was a lot made of maybe them like ribbing each other and was DJ kind of being a jerk, but he wasn't. And Zach came to his defense. He was like, "Are you kidding? We were laughing." And then they infused clips and they were like, he was cracking me up the whole time. And of course they're talking smack. Like they want, you know, but they all had nothing but nice things to say about him.
Well, and I've met Tracy Wolfson, who was on the court. And when she interviewed him and said, "You're fun to watch. You look like you're having fun." And he says, "When I stop having fun, I'll stop playing basketball." And I mean, I'm telling you, I've probably repeated that every time somebody mentions State to me because we have a perception. Athletes are trying to get to the pros or they're focused, right? They have a goal. And for him to say it that way and for it to be visibly happy and enjoying what he's doing is just something, it's a rarity. I think that's why people all across the country, your friends in Colorado, yeah. I think that's why people can connect with that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, some of my family's in Toronto and they were saying, it wasn't just them, you know, they were watching, we're big sports fans, they're, you know, pulling for the pack, but they also were like, this is a big thing here. I mean, it's just crazy. So, I mean, America's sweetheart, maybe even North America's sweetheart. But also to your point about how it united this community, I think, you know, every time State had a big win, we would post because they were all elimination games, right?
Right.
And so we kept posting and the posts were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it was so cool to see the comments on the posts, like Carolina fan here, couldn't be happier.
Right.
I had friends that I grew up with that would post on Facebook or Instagram and say things like, "Well, so I'm a Carolina grad, but I took one class at NC State. Does that count? Am I an alumni?"
Yes. You
know? And for us, you know, because the seats we sit in, if you think about how much we've made fun of, poked fun at the rivalry or the not a rivalry, right? There's even shirts. We can do that Dropped Acorns every year. There's always something about State and Carolina. And in fact, for the Dropped Acorns for this year, one of the things we were thinking about ribbing is how the Carolina women's coach said a couple of years ago, and it came up again this year, the only reason that we sold out Reynolds was because it's a small gym. So there's always been this sort of like,
we're not rivals,
but we're poking at each other. And then this just kind of changed everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like, I remember when I first started posting the game wins, I was like, what are the Carolina fans going to say? Like, oh my God, okay, yes, go State. But that wasn't it
no,
at all.
No, it really was a genuine happiness. So we're going to jump around a little bit. You got an email or call from a friend.
Yes.
This is how we got the story.
So my college roommate, shout out Angie Meyer, she's had a long relationship with agriculture in her job in government. And right now she's She got her own business, but she's like, I think, executive director for them, interim. Anyway, so we were making plans to watch the Final Four. We were all getting together at her house, and we were just like casually texting about that. And she was like, oh, yeah, so next week, DJ's got a NIL deal coming up with Dairy. And I was like, I'm sorry, does anyone know about, like, who's covering that for the media? Because we never turn this off, folks.
We never turn off the news knows. Our friends can't say anything around us.
I know. I'm like, we're just talking as like friends, and like she's the other biggest State fan I know besides maybe like my dad. And so she's just like telling me as a DJ fan, we were like sharing pictures of the mural, whatever. And then I was like, wait, what media is covering this? And she was like, oh, right. Well, I'll connect you. So anyway, fast forward to Monday. We kind of both forgot because we're focused on the game. And then Monday night, I was like, wait, what happened with that? And so it happened so fast after that. I was connected to somebody that, you know, the next morning, and they rose back immediately, and they said there was no media plan to be out there. It was sort of a small thing they were doing at the Howl and Cow Creamery off Lake Wheeler, and NC State's communications team was going to be there, of course, but they didn't have any media. But, you know, quote, you got yourselves an exclusive. And I think they were really enthralled by the fact that, first of all, shout out to Jack, because he could have been like, I don't really love that you got this scoop,
right?
You know, but instead he was like, I absolutely love that you got this scoop. And this is a point I've been meaning to tell you this. I said to him, once they invited us, I said, can we share it? Can we share it before DJ shares it? And I thought for sure he was going to say,
I thought so too.
Absolutely not. Like, this is DJ's to share. And we break exclusives all the time. And, you know, just for everybody's reference, it'll be like, well, you can break this exclusive at the exact same time we break our own story. So you got it first, quote unquote. So that's kind of what I was expecting. Instead, Jack says, absolutely. Share it now. Share it tomorrow. Share it as much as you want. It is only good for us to create this buzz. And I was like, what a refreshing attitude. Like,
somebody who wasn't trying to control it completely.
Yeah.
Who saw the value in
What's the downside of getting the news out? Like, what you want is ultimately, so it was for Dairy, which was for milk, and chocolate milk specifically is a recovery drink. If you want people to see milk as a recovery drink, the more we scream about it and post it, the more they're going to see it.
I can't tell you how many people, State fans and not, who texted me personally and went, how'd you get that? How'd you get that? I said, you know that the editor-in-chief is the biggest State fan in North Carolina, maybe in the world. I said, I'm pretty sure she's got her tentacles all in over there. You know, but they were all so surprised that it wasn't sort of a, you know, sometimes it pays to be lucky. I mean, have friends in good places, connections. She mentions it. What if she hadn't mentioned it? You wouldn't have known.
I know. It was so cool. So I know we are jumping around, but anyway, so Jack emails me back immediately. He says, let's hop on a call. You got yourselves an exclusive. And it was going to be the next morning at like 8 a.m. And, you know, we were on deadline and everything.
We didn't have a photographer lined up at that moment.
So, I mean, Annabeth, our editorial assistant, who's also a huge State fan. And I told them too, I said, I sold it in the original email. I was like, our entire editorial department graduated from NC State. We love NC State. And I just went on and on.
Well, let me jump in there. Annabeth is the only person that I know, and certainly the only person in my office, who picked NC State to go all the way and to win. So you're talking about serious fan.
Oh, yeah. Side note. So we have this family pool that we've been doing forever, and now Raleigh Magazine plays in my family pool. And Annabeth Strait almost won. If NC State had won the night we lost in the Final Four, she still would have won.
She still would have won, even without winning the final game.
Yeah. Ultimately, I came in second, and she dropped the 10th when that happened. But I think I had State going to the Elite Eight. If I had just picked them to go one more round, I would have won. But side note. Anyway, I mean, but yeah, she's a huge fan. Obviously, it was like 1% of people put State that far in their bracket.
That's a love.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have even picked Georgia.
So you were actually in a meeting, and we were having our meeting, and Gina's never not at the meeting, but she wasn't. So this is all going down, and I'm going around the table, and I'm like, who wants to go? You know, I'm going to take one person with me. You know, Annabeth was like, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like,
Lauren didn't stand a chance there.
So Gina comes back, and I tell her we get the exclusive, and we high five, and we're all excited. And then you called Sean.
Yeah.
He does a lot of photography for us, and he just last minute was like, okay.
Yeah, he's our hero. I mean, he's been a hero this entire issue. And so I guess I'm going to let you break the big news.
I was going to say, he doesn't know yet.
He doesn't know. And
Well, yeah. I mean, and so, you know, yeah. Okay. So I have to reveal the cover star for our May issue is, of course, America's Sweetheart, DJ Burns. And Sean shot the photo, has no idea that it's on the cover.
He doesn't. And it's, you know, it's crazy. We've only put one single individual on the cover one time, and that was Rod Brendamore.
Yeah.
And that has its own story, but it was Rod's first year as head coach, and we were going to the playoffs for the first time in 4 years or 5 years. I mean, whether we made it out of the first round to the second or third, whatever it was, the decision literally was going to be made that night. And I'm like, roll the dice. We're putting him on the cover. It doesn't matter because we're back in the playoffs. We now are a team that's going to be in the playoffs every year. It's not going to be up for discussion. And so, and so you're really careful with that. I mean, mm-hmm. we really are careful about choosing a person because, you know, any other time, if it were a state player, and it maybe wasn't DJ Burns or it wasn't this situation, a Carolina fan or a Duke fan might not pick it up. A local icon since 1949 and where Raleigh comes to celebrate, savor, and enjoy. Village District is celebrating 75 years of tradition and taste. You can join the celebration for their 75th anniversary on Saturday, April 20th from 3 to 8 p.m. on Woodburn Road. Enjoy live music, pop-ups, a kid-friendly area, and the launch of their Village 75 beer, exclusively brewed by Standard Beer and Food. For more event details and other Village District happenings, you can follow Village District on Instagram at @ShopVillageDistrict, visit their website at shopvillagedistrict.com, or sign up to receive texts by texting the word VILLAGE to 919-701-0202. Time to add the mix into the mix of your go-to hotspots. With signature craft cocktails and neat pours, 12 rotating craft beers, and 8 rotating fine wines, plus cider and bubbles, the mix has the perfect pour for everyone. Take flight with beer, wine, whiskey, mezcal, and tequila. Or not in the spirit, craft cannabis gummies and high seltzers also invite. Sprawl out on the patio, post up on the couch with your laptop on a weekday, catch the big game on multiple TVs, or cozy up in the wine library for an upscale paired tasting. Weekly events keep the good times coming, from tastings to live music and more. For the full lineup of events and offerings, visit bottlemix.com. Yes, with two X's, so that's bottlemixx.com. Yeah. So we have to weigh all of that.
And this is, I think this is kind of fun for people to know. If you think about it, and I get a lot of city magazines, they're every single one without fail almost ever has a face on it. And when we were talking about this yesterday, it's like, well, of course, you know, those are city magazines and cities with mega stars, you know. And so even like DC Magazine, for example, you know, they're part of a larger media company and they always have a celebrity feature, and that celebrity will be 9 times out of 10 on the cover. And even if you're in some of these other cities like LA, obviously Chicago, New York, you just have a lot of star power. It's not to say Raleigh doesn't have any. I don't want it to come across that way.
We have star hockey players, but let's face it, hockey doesn't have sort of the glamour the swagger and the bling that sort of NFL or—
that makes you want to pick up a cover.
NBA or supermodels, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so a year ago, there was an NIL deal, ironically, between Duncan and a star Carolina female basketball player, and we flirted with the idea of putting her on the cover. Those shots were so sick. They were so cool. And really the breakout moment for that, or like the hard no, was more of a soft no. First of all, it was Carolina, Chapel Hill. And also, like, I think you had to be a sports fan to want to pick that up. DJ transcends that.
Right.
Like, there's so many people I know that aren't sports fans that are DJ fans. He tapped into something. Mm-hmm. And I think that you said it, the kindness. And that's the other thing I want to touch on, you know, going back to the farm. They say don't meet your heroes because they'll always disappoint you. So I was a little, like, you asked me if I was excited and I just said yes. Like, I never said at the time, I was actually really nervous to go, and I didn't want, like, the shine to not be there, you know? And instead he is so much nicer than you guys even think he is. Like he, there really weren't that many people there. They kept it very small and intimate. I think the only people there were related to the people in Got to BNC, in the network and the family. So off the top of my head, maybe 20 people. And that's including, you know, us and Sean and NC State's communications team. And what we were essentially doing was videoing the commercial, mm-hmm. like, you know, behind the scenes. But DJ walks in from the parking lot and it was kind of like the crowd parted. And I don't know if it's, I don't know why. I don't know if Anna Beth and I just like immediately went to him or if they were all just like, oh, they're media, so we'll let them talk to him. But it was just Anna Beth and I walked up to him. He high-fived us both. I kind of blacked out. And then I was just like, I had a Raleigh magazine for him. And I was like, this is so stupid. I was like, I brought you a Raleigh magazine, but like, I'm not going to give it to you right now because you have to do a commercial first. He was like, thank you so much. And so anyway, he goes on to the commercial and oh, the footage we have for this, we might have to post some more of it. He is so funny. The cow fell in love with him.
The cow's like, licking his leg and kissing his leg through almost most of the photos.
Yeah, and he wasn't allowed to touch the cows. That was like a whole thing, but the cow could obviously decide to touch him. So she, and the people, like when we posted the stuff, people were like, oh my God, that cow's in love with DJ. And she was, it was so funny. Anyway, he gets done and we really had no idea if he was going to be willing to talk to us, anyone. And so of course this like little kid, like 10-year-old that belonged to one of the family goes up and says, can I get your autograph? And he, it just from there, like he could not have been sweeter. I got him to sign a shirt and he complimented the shirt. He said, this is the softest shirt.
Well, and I think he asked you guys if you wanted a photo, right?
In the end. So we really were like
trying.
So I took a photo with him and Annabeth took a photo with him and I forgot to give him the magazine. And then Angie was there, my friend and her daughter and her daughter's best friend. So they took a photo and we're all standing there and I'm holding the magazine and I'm like, well, like, you know, I walk back up to him and I'm like, oh, I forgot to give you this. And he said, thank you so much for giving this to me. Like you would have thought I gave him a car. And I was like, oh, you're welcome. And then I walked away and I said to Annabeth, we forgot to get a picture with him with a magazine. Well, he heard me and he was like, come here, let's get a picture with it. And he's holding Raleigh magazine. And I mean, he just, he couldn't have been more genuine.
I mean, we both meet lots of people that's not the case.
Right.
It's just not. That's not the norm. As you said, sometimes people disappoint you. They have a persona that's, you know, in the public, and then what they're like behind the scenes is different. That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. There's this, you know, Friends, there's this famous episode where Jennifer Aniston goes to meet the soap opera star and she's such a bitch and it ruins everything. Yeah. Like that's sort of that's the usual experience. But like he just blew my mind. Like he, I think, has to be one of the best humans I've ever met.
Well, you know, to show that we always want more. So we asked for him to come on the podcast today.
Yes.
And they didn't say no.
No, they didn't. She, you know, of course, this like just happened. So she's like, well, we just need like 8 to 10 weeks because he's focused on training. So.
I'm sorry. What does that tell us? He's training for something.
Exactly.
Well, and, you know, and doing a lot of reading about him, there was a great, you know, there's been a lot said about, you know, the NCAA, Final Four, March Madness, they're always Cinderella teams. Mm-hmm. But there's usually one or two athletes, usually one, that sort of are breakout stars. They're often people that you don't hear their name called at the draft. Maybe it's their charisma, maybe it's something about their body type or some unique shot or something. But fans look for stars and teams to fall in love with and follow because let's face it, our teams don't often go very far. Mine was in the NIT.
Well, you've got football.
I got football. But there was so much written about him and just his not being likely for the draft. So you wonder. There's also been some conversation about him for football.
Oh, yeah. He was so funny after the tournament.
He's too like, nice to play football.
Well, yeah. And he was like, I absolutely don't want to play football. So, you know, and also, I don't know if you saw this, but he posted on his Twitter. It was while we were still in the tournament, but he posted on his Twitter this terrible letter that he got. It was like hate mail. And calling him all kinds of atrocious things and like just vitriol. So he posted a screenshot of it or an image of it. And I can't remember what his exact caption was, but it was so gracious. It was just like, it was almost like a joke, like, not this, but if they misspelled a word, like, oh, you misspelled DJ or something like that. But I mean, it wasn't that. It just wasn't, he wasn't offensive. He didn't call that other person names. Like, but then of course the fans all came. And honestly, when I was reading the comments, it was a lot of Carolina fans that were mad. Yeah, they were defending DJ. And
what were they upset with him about? Do you remember?
They were calling him, they were commenting on his weight.
Oh, for
and
the love
his stature
of God.
And, like his
That's
persona.
So sad.
Yeah, I tried to find it before we did this. I don't know if he took it down or not. I don't think he did, but I think he just has a lot of Twitter going on, so it's hard for me to go back and find.
Yeah, I bet that person feels like an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, it is. There's just always haters. It's like, what? Why do you care that this person is successful? And why would you take the time to go out of your way to just hate on someone?
Yeah,
you know.
I don't get me started.
I know. It's just.
I think that was my battle cry yesterday. People are just stupid.
Yeah.
Not all, but there's usually one or two that you just wonder how they have the time and why they take the time to be mean. But that's okay. Another subject, another day. So we interviewed him about a few things. We're not going to share all of them because we're going to pick up the magazine and check it out. But was there anything that surprised you?
Yeah, we did a couple questions with him. You'll have to grab the issue. But I think the one that stands out for the purpose of this podcast is we asked his favorite part of March Madness, and he said it was Mike's game winner against Virginia by far, which, of course, is the buzzer beater in the ACC tournament that without which none of this would have happened. And, like, even that just gave me chills.
And let's face it, it took a long time, but it also saved Keith's job.
Yeah. There's this, not everyone listening is old enough to remember this, but, you know, my family, like I mentioned, they're all different Triangle fans, like Duke, Carolina. So I grew up watching them all, and there's this famous Christian Laettner buzzer beater. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Was it against UCLA or UNLV or something? Early 90s maybe? And that to me has always been like seeing my family see that. Some of my family was actually there, but... And it just never goes away. Like, to this day, like, they can watch that shot and those feelings come back. And this is football, but also, like, one of my best friends is a Patriots fan, and there's that Super Bowl where the Falcons were winning by, like, 30. And it was, like, yeah. I mean, not exactly, but 28, I think. And it was, like, 4 minutes to go in the fourth, and it was over. And he will watch that game on repeat because—and honestly, every time I'm in there and he's watching it, I'm like, they can't win. Even though I know they did, I'm like, they can't.
Right. Well, I have to tell you, anybody who listens to this, I find a way to get it in conversation every day. And I did for 2 years, basically. People kept saying to me, calm down. And they said it to people on TV about being excited over Georgia winning the national championship. And I was like, dude, I have not been here. This did not happen. Last time it happened was 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think State fans should live it. I know we didn't win. Who cares? That doesn't matter. What they accomplished and what they did with a team that was 11 seed, that was top 10 in the ACC, was number 10 in the ACC, I think that is better than winning.
I think so too. I think also it'll be really interesting to see these are the moments and the kinds of players and the kind of streaks that change programs forever. And so I think
there are lots of little boys. There are lots of teenage boys and they're sitting out there wondering where they want to go and looking at the fan base, I'm sure. And looking at Keats and the program and thinking that's where I want to be.
In the portal already, you know, there's already been some movement and I think you can probably see that even from Georgia repeating, right? Mm-hmm. Like once you, and I know we didn't win the national championship.
That doesn't matter.
Once you get that far though and get that recognition, you know, and my favorite joke that came out of the tournament is that people finally know the difference between Raleigh and Durham. Because enough of us got far enough in the tournament that they had to know.
I talked to Koechner about that. David Koechner, last week's podcast, he was in town for comedy shows. And we were talking about that. And he thought that was hilarious that we cared. I'm like, dude, spend some time in Durham and spend some time in Raleigh. And you'll realize we are two entire. The only thing we have connected is RDU.
Yeah, I remember when I moved to Chicago, some people people didn't know they were different. And some people didn't even know Raleigh was in North Carolina. You know, and so it's just, I think it's great for the state. And back to that whole NIL thing, I think it's really cool that that deal is with Got to BNC. It's with the, you know, a state program as opposed to like a corporate program, right, and something that will, you know, take a state star and turn it into something that's good for the state, for the economy. I think that's really cool.
Well, and piece of trivia. Do you know what the state drink in North Carolina is?
Is it milk?
It's milk.
Oh, yeah, I did not know, but
most people don't know that. I think that's pretty cool.
I think that, isn't that on our quiz in this issue?
It is.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, we have quizzes in the magazine. They're kind of fun. And if people want to see this footage, by the way, it's on our Instagram. It's on DJ's Instagram. You know, it's on Got to BNC's. It's definitely worth watching.
Yeah. So get a copy. I'm hoping I already have a spot in mind in the new office that we're going to blow it up and have him sign it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My next email is, by the way, now we just need you to sign like 10 copies.
Yes. Yes. So, well, cheers to the pack.
Yeah. Cheers.
This has been Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I hope after hanging out with us, you feel more like a Raleigh insider. You can find copies of our magazine around town or subscribe for $10 for 10 issues. We'd love it if you gave this podcast a rating and review and share it with your friends. This podcast was edited and produced by Earfluence. I'm Gina Stevens. We'll see you again soon. Want more of Raleigh Magazine in between issues? Visit RaleighMag.com and subscribe to our newsletters. They come out Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. 5-minute read keeps you up to date. And especially on Friday, dish on this: where to eat, where to drink, what to do this weekend. Subscribe for free at RaleighMag.com.